Okay. Thanks, Ping. Let me assure you right off the bat that I'm not going to subject you to dendrograms, similarity, matrices, nor dissimilar matrices. I can't spell dendrograms. What I want to visit with you this morning about is the extra-long staple trait that we have talked about over the last 3 or 4 years that we have isolated and developed at A&M. And if you look in the collection, you will find a number of accessions that are identified as hirsutum and that are identified as having this extra long staple trait. And so we had a new graduate student come on board, and the project that I assigned him was to pull those ELS things out of the collection and do a dial L and generation mean analysis crossing with our ELS material. And that got me to thinking of, well, what are the pedigrees of the ELS lines? Because I have always just dismissed them as being Barbadensi integration products, or either that or Ed Percival suggested to me once upon a time that they were just simply mislabeled and they really weren't hirsutums, that they were Barbadensis. So if we think about the ELS lines that are in the collection, and I want to go back and look at a few of the pedigrees, I haven't come close to identifying pedigrees for all of them. But just a little background information, if we look at the upper half mean, here's the classifications that most of us would throw short, medium, long, extra long into. And if we talk about extra long staple uplands, generally we're talking about things that are above 1.26 upper half mean length. But if we talk about ELS as being as comparative with Pima, and you look at the Pima long chart, then it's got to be 1.375 inches or above to be categorized or to meet the minimum staple length in Pima. So if we look in green, we find a number of these ELS lines, and we recently released 8, as I said. And so with this is the questions that we wanted to answer. I pulled out 10 just for this presentation today that were at least 1.33 or above. And you'll notice the all but three of these, or maybe all but four, would reach the Pima classification of extra long staple. And so we went into the literature and to see if we could find pedigrees on these lines. We did not find anything on these five. I have found references to Greer, Wichita. They were newspaper accounts that about its production in South Texas, didn't have anything about pedigree information. These others that are still yellow, the Acala 1064, Coker Wiles, Mead, Acala Mesilla Valley, and Sealand, we did find some information. If we look at the Wiles, the Weber, or the Delta type Weber, and we can trace that back pretty well all the way to the introduction of the Mexican stock in 1806 to 1850, and there's all sorts of anecdotal information about what that actually was, or to the green seed that was introduced into Georgia in 1734. There's some suggestion that it comes back, the Weber in particular comes back through Allen Long Staple, back through Peeler, which was an amalgamation of all of this material down here with the Mexican, the green seed, the Creole black seed, and Sea Island was in that. These dotted lines on these slides indicate that there's literature that suggests, without any proof, that these were pedigree lines. But those that you find that you think that gives you some sense of what they actually were, we come up here from the Mexican stock into Bohemian through Express to Lightning Express. That was crossed with Weber, Delta type Weber, to give us Wiles at a 1.43 fiber length that was developed in 1928. There's no pedigree indication that Wiles or Coker Wiles is an integration product, nothing substantial. Coclanus, in his history of D.R. Coker, referred to the Weber and the Wiles as long staple, but without defining what long staple was. Davis in Hybrid Cultivar Development, edited by Bang & Bang in 1998, just off the cuff regarded the wilds as an integration product from Barbadense. We know for sure from the pedigree information that wilds was crossed to Sealand, to Sea Island, and then back crossed four times to wilds, and that produced Sealand with a 1.49 staple length or upper half mean length, and it was released in 1944. So we know that was an integration product. This one, the Acala 1064, although it doesn't reach the Pima level of extra long staple, is without doubt an upland type. There's no planned or suggested outcrossing with Pima. It traces directly back to the Acala number 3 in 1910, which was a selection out of the 1906 Acala introduction. However, the Watson's Acala, there's the suggestion in the literature that it was crossed with a Pima or outcrossed with Pima, and from that Mesa Acala was selected in 1945, and from that Mesilla Valley Acala was selected in 1948 or released in 1948 with a 1.44 inch upper half mean. This mead is a really interesting one that I have spent some time trying to figure out and get a little better handle on. Roland Mead was a seedsman in up around Clarksville, Texas, back in the early part of the 1900s. Mead was released in 1912 as a variety. It was named for Mr. Mead, who had at that time passed away. Had a length of over an inch and a half, and it had a what we refer to today as a naked seed or a fuzzless seed that many folks would just arbitrarily dump that into a Barbadense. And of course, we all know that trait floats around in upland as well, so that's difficult to do. Ware noted that Taylor's publication in 1910 considered mead a selection out of something called Black Rattler or Black Seed near Clarksville. And there's a suggestion that this Black Seed then was a Barbadense. But there's also the suggestion that Black Rattler was one of the what was called at that time a quarter cotton, had an inch and a quarter fiber length, grown extensively in Mississippi prior to the boll weevil, that it was not a Sea Island or a Barbadense, but it was an upland, and that Malloy and Doyle in 1922 noted that Black Seed or Black Rattler did not refer to varieties grown in other parts of the cotton belt. So suggesting that it was a Barbadense, in fact. Mead was grown, it was tested as a replacement for Sea Island in South Carolina, and the Sea Islands off the Carolinas, and as much as 10,000 acres were grown about 1920 and 22, which was the 2 years after the boll weevil made its way to South Carolina and annihilated the Sea Island business. And it reported the staple length at one point in time as high as 1.62 inches. It was lost due to seed mix, and as you know, back in those days, they were varieties. Buyers bought cotton based on location, variety, and it lost its integrity, and therefore they did not continue its use. As you know, we have developed a number of these extra long staple types, and I wanted to go through the pedigrees of these ELS lines that we have. And look to see if there were any Barbadense integration. Just to refresh your memory, I don't want to spend any time on this for time constraints or time reasons, but the numbers in yellow under upper half mean verifies that these are extra long staple types. And you look at tensile strength, 50 count yarn, carded yarn on your right, and you can see the improved yarn strength from these lines because of their extra long staple trait compared with Fibermax 832. These lines all have a common parent. There are five families in this material, and here's family one, next family two, family three, family four, and family five. They all have TAM 94L25 as a common parent. And except for the bottom family that has TAM 94L2, which is a full sieve of L25, and it was all of you have been through this. You have these full sieves, and you decide which ones you're going to release and which ones you're not going to release. And we opted to release L25 instead of L2, but we had made several crosses with it. So we have these five families, and you can see the other parents on them. These are just out of our breeding program. Here's a PD6992, which is also a parent of L25. Georgia 161. These are out of our are just breeding lines in the program, as are these. Some of them have been released and some of them have not. If we look at the pedigree on these lines, 94L25 is a cross between 87G-cube-27 and 87O-cube-37. And let's look on the right-hand side first at this O37. And it's a cross with a Stoneville, a 77, 38, 40, and 1656. I probably make worse notes than anyone in here, but Stoneville 1023 was out of Bill Manning's work at Stoneville. I suspect it's a 213, although it was one of those things where it's a strain we tested, and we didn't share pedigrees, and so I don't know what the pedigree of that is. And of course, Bill's I didn't get it before Bill left Stoneville. But under 1656, we have this material. We do have some Michaela in there, suggesting that there could be some Barbadensian here. Out of the 77, 38, 40, this is a combination of Lankard, Delpine 14, and Michaela, and another Lankard, and there certainly could be some Pima integration from here. If we go to this side of the pedigree, the G-cube 27, we come down through this complex of crosses that the penultimate one is AET 108, 1209, and 60, PD6992. Anytime you have PD, as Todd just reminded us, anytime you have PD in your pedigree, there's an opportunity to have Barbadensian alleles in there, because that program dates back and traces back to a lot of effort to improve Barbadensian types and make them available to in the upland production area to replace the Sea Island industry that was lost. The 1209-619, we have Paymaster Lankard, another Akela. We come out of this AET 108 and we have this set of material. It is tempting to call Tideland 501 a Sea Island type. It's not. There were some Tideland varieties marketed in Texas back in the 1950s. They were short staple types, and they were uplands. But you can see in these others, you go back far enough in Delta Pine, you'll find the Allen Long staple in there, which may have some Barbadensian in it. And certainly, again, out of the PD program, this AE-179 is triple hybrid, Sealand, early staple, lots of Barbadensian there. But having identified all that Barbadensian and its back in pedigree, it's been a while since there was intentional crossing with Barbadensian types, and I don't think there was the opportunity for outcrossing. None of these pedigrees or none of these seed increases or testing of this ELS material have we seen anything that suggests that there's Barbadensian in the background. A few conclusions. There seems to be no way to definitely prove that any of the hirsutums exhibiting the extra long staple upper half bean length trait does not have any latent alleles or active alleles from Gossypium barbadensis. I asked some of my molecular friends when I was putting this together of could I make certain statements about that, since that we couldn't prove that they weren't there, and I was cautioned that, well, maybe we're not that far along in the molecular analysis, and so you have to be careful in saying you can or can't prove something it has alleles for Barbadensian or does not. Yield potential may remain an issue with this material. There's no doubt that the extra long staple, upper half mean lengths of greater than 1.375 inches in uplands, has been developed. It's in the germplasm collection, and it's certainly in our program at A&M. There's no doubt you can develop that, and we have shown data in the past suggesting that we have plenty of opportunities to improve these ELS lines in the areas of yield, fiber strength, fiber fineness, and those sorts of things. But there's no doubt that these kinds of lengths can be reached. And unlike the ones, and I don't have this on any of the slides here today, but unlike the accessions that are identified in the collection, the ELS lines that we have at this point in time have lint percents between 32 and 36. The collection, the ELS lines are all below 30. And so we think there's hopefully there's some progress there in making these things more commercially adapted. With boll weevil eradication, earliness of maturity may not be an absolute deterrent to development of ELS lines. I know that in places like the High Plains of Texas, we may still have issues with earliness in the sense of its impact on fiber maturity, and so there may well still be a lot of reasons for breeders to be concerned about earliness, but escape of the boll weevil is not one of them. And extra long staple lines, uplands will produce improved quality yarns, both carded and combed yarns. And I didn't show the data here this morning, but you guys have seen those data in the past. With that, I'd like to again express appreciation to Cotton Incorporated, the Corps, and the Texas State support that has supported our work, the Texas Department of Agriculture Food and Fiber Grants Program, the old Texas Food and Fiber Commission Program, and of course Texas AgriLife Research. And with that, I think I'm out of time. So I had some extra slides here just in case Don was going to ask me a question. I could tell him that I had other data I needed to tell you about. So anyway, thank you. Questions? Time for questions?